Anti-avoidance rules exist to prevent companies carrying forward losses where there has been a change in ownership, and the new owner has effectively bought the company because it wants to utilize the losses brought forward. This session looks at how and when these rules apply. First of all, let's have a look in detail at the reason for the anti-avoidance provisions. Let us say that we have the Jones family, who currently own 100% of a company called Target Limited.
Target Limited currently makes reproduction antique furniture. It has large amounts of corporation tax losses brought forward, which may be carried forward under the provisions of Section 45, Subsection 1, against future profits of the same trade.
As it is unlikely that this particular trade is going to make any profit in the future, the losses may be of no particular use to Target Limited. Along comes Big PLC, which is a furniture retailer, and they look at all of these corporation tax losses brought forward and they think, we could do with some of those. Big PLC offers cash to the Jones family in return for the shares in Target, such that the Big PLC now takes over 100% ownership of Target Limited. Being a big furniture retailer, Big PLC will change Target Limited's trade to the production of modern furniture, specifically ordered by Big PLC's own customers. Therefore, they will have a ready-made market for the goods. When Target Limited starts to make profit, their idea would be to carry forward the huge amount of unused losses, so they will not have to pay corporation tax until the losses have been utilized. Do you think the revenue will like that idea? Not very much. The anti-avoidance rules were introduced to stop this particular scheme. The revenue view is that if there's been a major change in nature or conduct of the trade, they will not allow the losses to be brought forward. So what is this major change in nature or conduct of trade? The period under review will be the 3 years leading up to the change in ownership and the 3 years that immediately follow. No major change in the nature or conduct of trade must have happened in that 6 year total period. The changes that take place to the trade may happen piecemeal, and it can be a gradual process. But if at any point in the 3 years before and at any point in the 3 years after, the cumulative changes seem to have triggered a major change, then the anti-avoidance provisions will bite.
So, how do we define this major change? Section 673 of the Corporation Taxes Act 2010 defines a major change as a major change in the property, services or facilities dealt in. So that could be, for instance, a change in the goods in question. In the example that we just looked at, Target Limited used to make reproduction furniture and now makes modern furniture. That could be a major change in the type of property it deals in.
Also, a major change in customers, outlet and markets. In the example we just saw, currently Target Limited sells its furniture, perhaps to the public at large, but following the change in ownership will only supply specifically Big PLC's customers. So there is a complete change in the customer, the outlet and the market. This could be seen as a major change. The revenue have always said that they will look at the facts and degree in each individual case, and this has always been the approach taken by the courts. In the case of Purchase and Tesco in 1984, it was held that the change must be more than significant, but not necessarily fundamental, to trigger a major change. The revenue's view on the Purchase and Tesco case is given in Statement of Practice 1091, which we will look at in this session. The anti-avoidance rules will also kick in where the trade was small or negligible immediately before the change in ownership, and it is followed by a considerable revival in any period following the change in ownership. This provision is not confined to 3 years, unlike a major change in nature and conduct. The reason for this provision's existence is simply to stop a company buying another company, not because it wants its trade, but because it wants its losses. i.e. the trade is so small, it can't really be seen that anybody would want to buy it, but they are very interested in using up the losses brought forward. The anti-avoidance provisions will also bite in these circumstances. So what is the effect of these anti-avoidance provisions? Basically, a brick wall is put up at the date of the change in ownership, which effectively blocks trading losses from being carried forward after the date of the change in ownership. They effectively hit this brick wall. The mirror effect of these provisions is that if there are any losses which are made immediately following the change in ownership, for instance, they make some major changes to the trade in the early days, and these changes create losses, those losses cannot be carried back and set against profits made before the change in ownership. Similar rules apply to block management expenses, UK property business losses, non-trade deficits on loan relationships, and non-trading losses on intangible fixed assets.
So what is a change in ownership? This is defined in section 719 of CTA 2010.
Basically, within a period of 3 years, if a single person acquires more than 50% of the share capital of the company, or two or more persons acquire 5% each and taken together this exceeds 50%, then there has been a change in ownership. So in other words, more than half the company's shares change hands in a 3-year period to one single person, or to a number of people, each owning at least 5%. The Revenue have issued a Statement of Practice, number 1091, which gives their interpretation of the change in ownership rules. What is important about this Statement of Practice is that it gives guidance to companies as to what they can do to a trade without it being considered a major change. If a company buys another company, which is loss-making, it is bound to want to make some changes to that trade in order to bring it into profit. Therefore, the Revenue have given us guidance on the sorts of changes that we can make in that first 3-year period. These are changes to keep pace with new technology, the adoption of new management techniques, improvements in efficiency of the company, including certain redundancies, and rationalization, including the dropping of unprofitable product lines. In other words, the Revenue will let us make changes that an ordinary prudent businessman should have made in order to turn the trade into profit. Where the changes go beyond that, this is where the anti-avoidance provisions will bite, as the trade is so unrecognisable that the losses cannot be carried forward, as it is not effectively the same trade. This concludes this session on change in ownership of a company.